Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Today you'll notice that we're going to talk about healing and some other things. Healing power. Let me just start with a statement. We are a four-square church that is what's called a Pentecostal denomination. Pentecostal is, it's not a denomination in itself. It's a movement of the church, and probably Pentecostalism and charismatic probably describes the doctrinal belief systems of anywhere from a third to half of the church of the world. Okay, so it's not insignificant. And really, to put it very simply, we believe that all the gifts of the Spirit that were in operation in the first century are still in operation today. Amen? And with that, though, it brings some expectations, brings questions, and a lot of stuff. And so I'm going to try and do my best today to get to hopefully answering some of those questions. But we're in this 21st century that we live in, though, we have other denominations that do not believe that, or we have other church traditions that they believe in what's called cessationism, and that is the belief that the supernatural kind of gifts, such as prophecy and healing and miracles and all this kind of stuff, stopped with the apostles. Basically, they stopped. The only problem with that is that we don't really find any support of that in the Bible. And so, although I love my brothers in Christ, you know, who might believe that, I would have to disagree with them on the basis of exposition of Scripture. And basically, expository means to you're drawing out, you're looking not for what I want the Scripture to say, for what it says to me and everybody else. Because it doesn't mean somebody did something different to my brother next to me. The Bible means what the Bible means, what the Bible means. And it's our job to find that out. Amen? That's called exegesis, or drawing out, or expository. Some lady taking a class from Haddon Robinson, who I took a preaching class from, said, the lady came up to him and said, so I want to learn more about that suppository preaching. And then Haddon Robinson, he told us in the class, he said, he thought about it for a minute, and he thought, yeah, you could look at it that way. So with that, because we just want to get right to the truth, amen? And let all the other stuff go. So the supernatural gifts such as healing and miracles are for the church today. They are. I believe that with my whole heart. And we're going to look at a scripture this morning in where the Apostle Paul, and it's not Paul, but Apostle Peter and John are both walking up to the temple. And you guys have probably heard this in children's songs. It's a very familiar story, but let's get right to it. Acts 3, 1 through 12. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, at 3 o'clock. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Alms, that's money, guys. If you probably ever figured that one out. While he clung to Peter and John, I love that. See, he's like so excited, right? Wow, this is great. And he's just clinging to Peter. You know, isn't that awesome? While he clung to Peter and John, and all the people utterly astounded ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" And that's really where we want to address that question. Why are you guys staring at us? Piety is another word for righteousness. Now, I want to proceed with a little caution because I know that myself, I've been Baptist, Lutheran in the summer, and then Charismatic and Pentecostal, so I've kind of seen it all. I've seen high church, low church, not every church in between. And I can tell you, sometimes us Pentecostals and Charismatics, we gotta be a little bit careful because sometimes we get excited, right? We get really excited, and we have this expectation as we're reading this stuff. Wow, man, this is the, and when we don't see things happen the way we think they should happen, we can get disappointed, discouraged, and get a little bit down. So I want to kind of explain some things to you. And really coming out of the text when he's talking about healing. The first thing, is there a gift of healing or individual gifts of healing? What do I mean by that? Like Amy Semple McPherson, the founder of the Four Square denomination back in the 20s, God worked many gifts of healing through her. In fact, and she had them go to doctors and have doctor statements written, and they would bring them back to church, and so they sit in the Four Square basement. There's files and files and files, hundreds of files of the stuff. It's amazing. But are there people who are healers, or people who, you know, they have that gift? Because it says, okay, this person has a gift of healing, or are there individual gifts? The reason I bring that up is because I think we have this misunderstanding that someone has a gift of healing on tap. It's like, and sometimes they present themselves that way, but I don't really believe that's how it works. Because if that's the way it works, because I've touched people and I've seen them healed, and if it was healing was on tap, I'd be emptying out St. Francis or what do you call it? I'd be running down to every hospital. I'd be emptying them out. Go, 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 go. Let's all get out of here, right? If I had the gift, I'll just touch somebody and they're going to get up and go. I'm like, let's all go. Let's come on, guys. Right? Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome? And so as a young man, I really experienced this sense of the Holy Spirit. And at about 13, the first time I laid hands on somebody and seen them healed, I think I was about maybe 17, 18 years old. I remember this girl, we had heard this teaching, and I thought, yeah, I don't know about all that, but because there's that skeptic in me, right? I like science and I like all this stuff, but I was beginning to expose the supernatural. And I go, well, maybe this is just for some special people. And I didn't understand. And so my friend, she had a headache, says, I have this terrible headache. And I have to say jokingly, but kind of haphazardly, I just laid my hands on her head like this. Oh, would you just heal my friend in Jesus' name? Thank you. And then she looked at me, and she had big eyes. You know, big eyes. And I said, what? It's gone. What's gone? What are you talking about? The headache. That fast? I mean, that's faster than aspirin, right? You know, ibuprofen is at least going to take 20, 30 minutes. I'm going, what? Like, it's gone. And then, of course, you know, I'm a kid, right? I'm just... wow, I don't understand. I don't know any better. So I think, this is cool. Hey, is there anybody who needs healing, right? So I'm going around and asking people, like, do you need heal? It's like, maybe just hurt them, boom, boom, now I need healing. No, I'm just kidding, I didn't do that. But I was excited because I thought, man, this is real stuff. This actually genuinely works. And it wasn't just a psychological thing. And I'll explain, I have a few more stories I'll share later, but I believe there's two things that we're given. Individual gifts are healing. There's just some people who operate with they see healing more often. But I have never witnessed anybody that's 100%. But some people do it a lot more, and their faith increases, and God uses them maybe primarily in that way, and that's wonderful. But these are individual gifts that are given to us for the time, but I also believe a gift of faith that's also spoken of in Scripture in 1 Corinthians comes alongside, and God increases your faith. He lifts up your level of faith, and then he comes in with the gift of healing, and he says, go. And your heart's just pounding, going, I don't know. And he's going, no. Here's your faith. Here's the faith you need. Here's the gift. Go touch him. Go pray over him. And we're just sweating. And we're doing like 15, you know, Lord, if it's your will, you know, God, you know, and you're just sweating and hoping something's going to happen. But God's already decided to do something. And so I believe that's how it's working. There's an individual gift, and there's also a gift of faith that comes along, and he stirs up that faith in you. Now, here's something to notice, that not even Jesus or the apostles healed everyone. Did you know that? Jesus himself did not heal everyone. In fact, he went into a town, and he said, I can't do any miracles here, because you guys are so offended. And think about our culture, and how many people are offended. Think about church, and how many people get all bent out of shape about other people in church. Well, if you don't like getting bent out of shape about other people, then leave. Go find you won't find any group of people, even in the church. Why? Because the church is where we're all coming, because what? We have issues. This is where you belong. We try to work out our issues. Why? You know what I mean? We're imperfect people. But the thing is, sometimes there's offense in the body of Christ. I know this is a side message, but Jesus said, look, I can't do anything here. You know? You guys are too offended. Wow. It's crazy, right? But everything he did was to glorify the Father. Everything he did was to bring glory. So that was a purpose. There's a purpose in miracles. There's a purpose in healing. The apostles, it wasn't like he did this every day. Because you'll notice that, what does it say? When this man was healed, the people were what? Astounded. It wasn't like, that's just, you know, Peter and John doing their thing. Yeah, we see that every day. It's just a daily thing. No, it was amazing. It was powerful, but it wasn't an everyday event. But it was meant to draw their attention so he could preach the word of God. It's always about bringing glory to God. Because any healing we have here, it's just temporary. Right? He raised Lazarus from the dead, but guess what? Lazarus died again. Now he's with the Lord, right? But give him a few more years. All right, Lazarus, I'll give you a few years. But you know, once I raise you from the dead, everybody's going to try and kill you. You know that, right? Okay. Did you read about that? Because they came after Lazarus too, not just Jesus. They wanted to kill him. Because he was proof. That's like, kill him. Hide the evidence. How twisted a mind to think of something like that. Well, that guy rose from the dead. Let's kill him so, you know, nobody will know. Wow. That's how evil is. Evil is dumb. Have you noticed that? Evil has shown its hand lately in all the hatred and intolerance. And it's like when evil gets frustrated and evil doesn't get its way, evil gets stupid. And people go, that's evil. Right? That's what happens. And that's why I believe these guys are just out of their minds. People are out of their minds, railing against God and God's people and God's ways. Notice it wasn't about the apostles' power and their righteousness. And this is really important, game, because if you guys think that, you know, it's only certain people are worthy, He said, not even Peter, not even John considered themselves worthy. They said, you guys think we did this, right? No. See, this is the problem. People think, well, Jesus and the apostles, they're special, and that's the problem with the cessation theology, the idea that the gifts no longer for today, and they're not for us. All that died out with the apostles. Well, even the apostles acknowledged it didn't come from them. So if it didn't come from them, what do they have to do with it? It didn't depend on their power or their righteousness. So what does that say to you and me? We can look at people that maybe operate more in the gift of healing. It does not mean that we cannot do that. You, everyone sitting here who calls Jesus Lord and is following him, you can lay hands for the healing of people. Christian or not, doesn't matter. It could be their faith. It could be your faith. It could be the faith of the people around you. He doesn't really get into whose faith. Notice, it was our faith. It was their, no, it was the power of God. It was him. So don't get all into this thing that thinking that, well, it's only pastors or it's only special people that can do this. You can do this. Jesus said, if you even have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move. You know, say this mountain, move, it'll move, right? How does healing happen? You'll notice in this passage, see, this is the cool thing about Bible study, right? This is a Bible study, right? So what we're doing, we are studying the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, but just in case you weren't aware, Captain Obvious here is going to point it out to you. Thank you, Captain Obvious. So there's two things. The name of Jesus, right? Names have authority, right? Your boss has a title. He has authority. You may not like your boss, but that's another sermon for another day. But he has authority, comes with the title, right? God has authority. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He's the anointed one. His name carries authority. Jesus Christ, I mean, he's got a lot of titles, but the thing is, the name of Jesus, there's power in his name. Now you might say, well, yeah, I'll just use the name of Jesus. That's what the seven sons of Sceva thought. There were these guys who were thinking, they tried to do something else, not heal, but try to cast out demons, and they tried, in the name of Jesus who, yeah, the Apostle Paul preaches, you need to come out. And you know what happened to them? They got lickings. Dirty lickings. They ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Now, you know, that is a bad beatdown when you're running away naked and bleeding. So they tried to do something using the authority, but they lacked something else. They didn't have faith. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ for the authority of his name to work. Because there's a lot of people that consider themselves Christian that aren't. They like using the name of Jesus. They like calling themselves Christian, but they could care less about being obedient to God. Obedience is carrying out, right? You know, you have a desire to obey. I want to draw close to God. I hate sin. I love you, Jesus, right? But there's a lot of people that they carry the name, they use the name of Jesus, but they don't have the faith in him to change their life. They don't have faith in him for their salvation. Whether it's a tradition or however they come to the place of considering themselves Christian. Now, one of the things I experienced, I'll show you three different stories. One is I was just a kid. I have a sister, Teresa. She is 3 years younger than me. My brother, Gary's 5 years younger. My sister has special needs. In other words, she is mentally, you know, not like a full-grown adult. And she also has had physical problems. She had scoliosis. If you don't know what that is, it's a curvature of the spine. But she had a severe scoliosis. I have a tiny, tiny little bit. You can't really tell. But she had it major to where it would go like this. It would curve in on her lungs, and it would begin to crush her lungs and her organs and kill her if she did not have a surgery to put these two metal rods in her spine. And while they were doing the surgery, they had her back open, and they put these rods in her spine. And what happened And again, I am not a medical person, but they had what was called a fatty embolism. That's what they called it back then. I don't know if they still call it that. And where basically she was going to die. The doctors came out and they told my mom and dad, they said, we're really sorry. There's nothing more we can do. A complication happened. And basically they were just already considering that she was just going to die in the next few seconds or next couple minutes. And so my mom and dad did something. They called my friends, or they called their friends, my aunties and uncles. They got them together in the hospital. And basically they were there, but they were just started praying. They just started interceding in prayer. Doctors came out. They said, this has never happened before. We don't know what's going on, but your daughter's alive. So God saved my sister through prayer. You know, and I've seen this so many times. I've had friends where, you know, I prayed. We got together. He had a tumor probably the size of my fist in his brain. And we laid hands on him when we prayed. And he came back and he actually showed us a doctor's report, said it's gone. The whole thing's gone. So the whole thing, and I got it in a file somewhere, but I just thought, wow. Now I'm still amazed, right? And then there was another time, it was actually right out here. And this is it was just kind of funny because it was me, Tammy, and then there was another person. I'm trying to remember who else it was. And we were laying, and she said, my back is really, it's all messed up. You know, I don't know what I did and everything. And she's all hunched over and hurting. And we just said, okay, so three of us just laid hands on her. Lightly touching her shoulder, right? And I can feel like her back, like right near her spine. And we just prayed, simple prayer, not just pleading and begging, just simple prayer. And then all of a sudden there was this, I felt something move. And they go, just this pop. And so we all jumped, all three of us jumped back. What was that? It wasn't me, I didn't do anything. Did you do anything? I didn't do anything. What was that? She just stood up. She goes, thank you. Just walked away. And I thought, what in the world was that? That's crazy, right? God, that's nuts. You're so awesome. And so I've seen this. I prayed for people, and I've seen miracles. But how many of you guys ever pray for somebody and they don't get healed? I mean, you pray for somebody and they die. Yeah, me too. One thing as a pastor is you do weddings, but you tend to do a lot more funerals. I buried a lot of friends. And so I prayed, I lay hands on people and I see them heal, but I also laid hands on people and I've seen them not heal. And I struggle. And I go, God, why did you take my friend away? You know? Lost my mom last year. She was 71. I really wanted more time. I was like, Lord, you know, I really wanted more time, but the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Your will be done. I know that she's with the Lord, but I wanted more time. And I think we all have this struggle that, okay, I hear a pastor talk about power healing, and sometimes you see guys that are hyping it up, but here's the reality. It's that sometimes for things that are beyond our knowledge, beyond our explanation, that maybe we aren't meant to know, he doesn't heal. Or God says no. I want to talk about that for a minute because that's hard. Because God works through suffering as well. This is not the most popular teaching in the scripture. If you would look at all, you know, people like to claim all the promises of God. Man, Jeremiah 29, 11, this thing to death. You know, God's got good plans. Woo! Good plans to prosper. No one really wants to go, oh, I will suffer with Christ. I claim that. Yes, Jesus. No, nobody wants to claim suffering, right? You know, I mean, if we were giving things out, It's like a give it. Oh, who wants happiness? Who wants joy? Who wants suffering? Anybody suffering? No. I'm good. Nobody wants suffering, right? And yet we have these scriptures that were Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he talks about, I want to suffer with Christ. Wow. What? And it's hard to really put into words, but if you read some of the writings and you spend time with people that are dealing with terminal illnesses, a wonderful, wonderful friend of mine who came here, who was a pillar of the church, good friend of mine, John, it's like a dad to me. He developed ALS. Man. And the muscles start to shrink away. Because I'm always like, God, just do it quick. What's with the slow degeneration? Why we got to deal with Alzheimer's? Why we got to deal with ALS and stuff like that? It's horrible. But somewhere in the midst of his pain, I saw a man who I thought couldn't be any more gracious become more gracious, become more tender, become more like Christ. And I thought to myself, wow. You have to look beyond. You see people suffering and then people complain, but watch the people that suffer. It's his grace in our pain that brings us to new levels of maturity and effectiveness in him. As we join him in his suffering, we become like him.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.